Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN, Upstart, and Hims. More on that later. Let's do the do.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're doing it over here at Studio Jeans at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. I'm RyanSickler.com on the interwebs. Baltimore, September 14th. I'm coming back to the Famous. Tickets are still on sale. You better get them now because it's going to sell out. I don't know if I could do a second show this time, all right? And all of you, every week I say it, and I want to let you know I'm sincere. I see the messages. I see the post. I see everything, and I love you for it. Thank you for the support. Make sure you're subscribed to the Your Mom's House YouTube page. Make sure you engage with the sponsors. That's the best way to help the show. I get asked that a lot. What's the best thing I can do? So thank you for those of you who do that. And the website, thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you can find merch, social media links, all that. You go there. Everything you need is there. You can email me there, all that good stuff. And if you're new to the show, what we do here is we highlight the lowlights. I say every week that these are the stories behind the storytellers. And this week, my storyteller, very excited to have him on. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Ray. Welcome to The Honeydew, brother.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome Let's to The Honeydew.
Get Dewey. Is
that, Adam
you say
Ray.
That?
You can say it.
Yeah.
No one has.
I like to be the first time.
No one's
time.
Dropped the Dewey.
Dude, there used to be a kid in my high school. His name was Dwight Angle. And he was one of those. We called him Dewey because.
No one called him Right Angle?
We should have. Where were you 20 years ago? He had like a very. Do you remember Officer Dewey from Scream? I think it was David Arquette.
Yeah.
And he was kind of. He just had some Dewey qualities to him. But he was this type of kid that he was running for president in senior of high school. And you were supposed to sign on the sheet basically that you abide or obliged to high school.
The code of conduct.
All that. And he always was against the fighting the man in the system. Just a skinny rat tail fucking white kid from North Seattle. Like, you know, there's a video of him with his dad trying to teach him how to ride a bike and him falling into a ditch that I still am trying to submit to America's Funniest Home Videos because literally to this day, I have not laughed harder in my entire life. And I'll go on record saying that. And if I had the footage to cut to right now, we wouldn't even continue the podcast. Literally his dad, it's the first time he's teaching him how to ride a bike by himself. And they're on this like dirt path and there's a ditch to the left and he's behind him and the dad's like, come on, come on. He's chasing him with the camera. Come on, Dwight, you can do it. Come on. And then finally he gets away on his own. He goes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. And then all of a sudden he just starts wobbling. He goes, oh no. And then he just shakes and he's about 30 feet away and he goes, and then he just, and it's not, I'm not saying he falls into a ditch that's like 4 feet deep. It's like, he fell into a black hole, and his son's gone.
Right.
And basically,
he's Jessica down the well.
The bike gods were just like, he wasn't ready. We're taking him until he's ready to go without. Dude, it was, I mean, and could you see him fall? You know, when you see someone fall, if it's a short distance and they hit
Falls
the ground.
Falls are always funny, though.
But like a deep, when you can tell this kid, like, dive bombs and off the bike, helmet flies off, rat tails waving in the air, waving to his dad. Anyway,
it's a real strong Dewey. Pitch for Dewey.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you.
Yeah, so real... very Dewey. He was living his life in the Dewey fashion. But so he signed instead of Dwight Angle, don't agree. DA, but still made it in a cursive. And I was supposed to be, and we had this whole plan because I was going to be his vice president, and still ended up doing it. But just the guy who ended up winning because Dwight didn't run because they looked at it and they were like, "Does this say don't agree?" And he was like. And hey, man, lie.
Right.
Just be like,
just
no, that's
race,
my name. And then just know inside your heart that you don't agree. Right. But he goes, maybe it does. And they're like, you're not running. And he's like, damn it. So Jeremiah.
Cancel the poster. Cancel the poster, Ron. Let's
back that campaign truck up. Oh, we didn't have a truck to begin with? Okay, cool. Oh, this is high school and no one has any sort of campaign funds? So Jeremiah Fulford Foster. Say that 10 times fast.
Say
you get
again.
To be
I
his running
say
mate.
What? Jeremiah Fulford Foster. That's tough.
Wins by default. And I was his
J-double
vice
F?
President.
J-double F?
He was, yeah. He was an offensive lineman. We were both offensive linemen.
Two
football.
F's in offensive.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Look at this.
He was a
the theme.
Now works at Costco. I think he's like upper management, climbed the ranks. It was one
two
of those
O's in Costco. Holy shit.
Oh, dude, he was so not a didn't have anything politically compelling about him, and he won, and he's a smart dude, and so.
But did he run against someone, or
no,
did he just get it because Dewey
got
was
it.
Out? So he didn't win.
Everyone kind of thought Dwight was going to win because, you know, again, even in high school, and even now, man, it's a popularity contest.
So it was Dwight against
Jeremiah,
but then Dwight was out and no one else stepped up to
no
run
one
against
stepped
so
up,
by
dude.
Default, he
yep.
gets a, he gets
yep.
the win,
yeah.
the W. Well,
and,
wins a win, bro.
Yeah, it wins a win, dude. And Jerry, he took it, man. And I told him, and I ended up being vice president, and I go, Jerry, look, man, I go, I'm going to run the assemblies. I'm going to do the student council shit. I'm going to run the stuff because, like, you know, you're the brains. I'm the fun. You know, I just try to lay it out. And he was like, yeah, I mean, you know, and he was kind of a pushover. Here's a great pushover example. He worked at Hollywood Video in high school. Do you remember Hollywood?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Blockbuster adjacent, right?
Right.
In my eyes, better. But that's just because it was closer. So it was more accessible.
Two L's, two O's.
Yeah.
A lot of the shit's going on here right now.
Hollywood Video is where I saw my first set of tits without a bra. It's
well, he would get you the videos.
Well, no. A mom came in that went. There was a mom of the high school just no, live
and
in the
you
flesh.
Saw it on a film.
No, dude, just walked in one day. I remember being in like freshman year, maybe or maybe even eighth grade, and just looking over and being like, "How can I see those through the shirt right now?" And just literally, such a pervy eighth grader, like definitely went down aisles that I had no business being
right.
in,
yeah,
just to kind of like get a second glance and double down on the. On the,
on
I mean,
the
they were just,
D's.
You know, I'm not going to say the name of the mom, but like, man, it was crazy. And definitely probably tried to become better friends with that kid too, just as
fuck
a way to like
yeah.
maybe get invited over for a sleepover.
You guys got a pool?
Yeah.
Swimming a lot during
your
the
summer? Your mom doesn't swim naked, does she? I mean, your mom doesn't make, she makes food when you guys eat, right?
You know, well, you're so horny as a boy in eighth, ninth grade that a one piece will do it for you. You don't
yeah.
give a shit.
Let alone mom nips, just.
Yeah.
You know,
mom boobs.
There's got to be a band out there called Mom Boobs,
there should
right?
be.
So he works at Hollywood Video, and I remember I rented this game MLB 2001, senior mm-hmm. year of high school. Just the most fun baseball game you could want to play. It was like, you know, they had other baseball games, but this one just for whatever reason it was so fun. My buddies and I would play it after school so much, and I had kept it for I'd say it was over a year now, right? And Jerry, one day I walk in and he's just like, hey man. And again, president, vice president, you know, we'd done an assembly that day. And so he's after school in there and I'm, getting some videos and looking for my friend's mom's boobs. And I'm like, hey man, gonna get this. And he goes, I can't let you get this, Adam. And I go, why? He goes, you've had MLB 2001 for.
It's like, 2003.
Dude, pretty much. Pretty much. I can't remember the exact duration of time that I had it, but it was way overdue. Like, if there were late fees, because Hollywood Video it came a time where I think they were both kind of, you know, to stay competitive, we're like, hey, now we don't do late fees, which I guess that was going to happen at some point, but also, like, now you're not getting anything back. If right. you're just basically, hey, it's the honor system.
We're giving it away.
Yeah, so he goes, you got to bring it back, dude. I go, Jerry, man, that's not going to happen. And he goes, come on, man. He come on mans me. And I go, dude, it's really fun. And he goes, dude, a lot of these games are fun, man, but you rented it. You got to bring it back. He goes, it's my ass on this one. And I'm like, dude, you know, it's not going to happen, Jer. I really like the game. And he goes, so do a lot of other people, which is why they come in asking for it. But I have to tell them that you have it. I go, you don't tell them it's me, do you? He goes, no, I'm not going to rat you out. I go, and I'm not going to rat you out for being a good dude. So Let me keep the game for a couple more years.
Couple more years.
Never. And then, again, speaking
Wait
to
him
the,
out.
His pushover qualities, he just goes, please. And I go, nah. And he goes, all right. And then he charges me for the.
Listen, I'm in the bottom of the seventh, and I got a no-hitter going. It ain't happening today, Jerry. You know what I'm saying?
I'm deep in the season, dude. I'm looking to make some trades. But yeah, dude, that was so we ran the assemblies together and everything, and it was super fun. And then he did, to his credit, gave like one of the most emotional, like, you know, the senior the graduation, basically, right? And they show I think it's called Kane Lotta. I don't know if it is like that across the board, but you know, they play a senior slideshow pictures, and it's emotional, man. Like, you, I remember going to
playing
it as
Goo Goo Dolls music under. Oh yeah, and shit. Yeah.
And I don't want the and just pictures like just slow cross dissolving shots of this,
oh,
and then into one
the
of like this,
shots,
and then some hot girl
sport.
Eating spaghetti. Like, yeah. What? Where'd this sauce come from? And you're like, I'm never gonna see that bitch again. You know?
Is that bitch in our grade?
Yeah,
I don't recognize.
She's
that.
Not, is she? No, she already graduated. They just put her picture up because her dad owns the school. You know, but he gave a really heartfelt speech, and I remember like being really taken aback because he had. There were times even during student council meetings where he'd be stumbling over his words, and I would just step up and just grab the mic and go, I'll take it from here, Jared. So I think what we're trying to do, look, pencil sharpeners, do they need to get upgraded? For sure. Like,
we're going to restructure home ec, okay? I got plans for the whole West Wing of this building.
I did, dude. I was, but again, it was just like all a performance opportunity.
Study hall is going to be 6 credits.
Yeah, dude. But anyway, so yeah, I think he's killing it at Costco now, though. So
good for him.
Good for Jerry.
Well, good for you for being here. Thank you very much. And before we get into this further, please, I want you to promote yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
All
I just
about you.
Jumped
I'm
into
trying
that,
to make
man.
This about you.
That's my problem, though, with you. Also, when you're around just great chatters like yourself, I mean, you're truly one of the best. It's like, and I know you appreciate that,
you're
too,
sweet,
of any sort of deep cut story. And those things I have never. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I've said Jeremiah Fulford Foster.
I can understand why, though.
But you know what I'm saying? So you even just saying, or the Dewey thing, like that just, man, that set off, you know.
I love
I think
it.
Our brains work like that, too, where it's like there's so many, you know. And I try to, I think, probably partially bring those things up just to, like, challenge myself to be like, do I still remember? How far back does my brain truly go?
Yeah.
And do
and
I
how
still
deep does that memory go?
Yeah, man. Because you want to think that, like, you got all that stuff and that Hollywood video, you know, chamber of time, like, locked away somewhere just waiting to be opened up. I definitely will bring it up to him if I ever see him. Hopefully he's watching. I know he's a fan of comedy.
There's What's up, some... JWL? Yeah.
But I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. My website is adamraycomedy.com. All my tour dates are there, pretty full through the rest of the summer and then into the fall. And my album is called Read the Room. It's on Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, iTunes. I actually just put out a full video. I did a 3-camera shoot on the red of the album.
You
at
did
the,
it on a red?
Yeah,
very
at the
nice.
At the Punchline in San Fran. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite clubs ever. And
that's a great club. I'm glad they're working that out.
Dude, I know. It was this would have been probably the last, like, I mean,
yeah.
For sure, album, but I love that room. It's so intimate, and it's San Francisco's such a cool, accepting city, and comedy people. And I love, look, who doesn't? We both gotten to play like really cool, bigger venues, but like, I don't know, man. When it really comes down to it, like, you know, 200 to 300 is like real special, man. Like that's just. Especially in the Punchline, it's real. Everyone's right up on you.
Yeah, right on top.
And you
low ceiling.
Yeah, dude. And you either are. You get such an immediate, like, response to whether or not you're connecting or not.
Yeah.
And anyway, so the full video now, as of today, is up on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AdamRay24, because I think I made the YouTube channel when I was 24, and I don't know how to change it. But also, King Griffey Jr.'s number was 24,
yeah.
So there you go. So maybe people can, you know, think that that's why.
Well, I appreciate you coming
Thanks
on
for having
here.
Me. On the podcast about last night with Brad
please.
Williams. That's on iTunes and everywhere, Spotify. And if you don't know who Brad is, check it out. Look under your table right now. He could be there.
He had a great episode here.
Dude, he crushed it. Brad's another guy that's just got stories and chats for days. And a good yes-ander, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we'll be in elevators, Brad and I. And if you don't know Brad, it's a little person. I like how I always do this for some reason. I could just say it, but I'm like, even times I'll be like, Brad, and I always do like do that. And then sometimes I'm like, well, that's generous, Brad, you know, and I go down lower. But we'll be in elevators just to fuck with people, and I'll look at them sometimes and be like, I'm so proud of you, son. And you see people just kind of like looking down, and then he'll just smile and look up at me and go, I love you, Dad. Why do I have a full beard? You're mature. Your friends are jealous. People are just kind of, yeah.
What's going on, my
friend? Is that kid really 7? Why is he holding the car keys? So, yeah, that's it, man.
Well, I've been wanting to have you on, and I ask everybody to send some stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you sent some great stuff, but there was one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
Because I saw this really, I thought it was just this beautiful post, I believe it was on Instagram, and it was so moving. It was about your dad, and just, I don't know everybody's backstory, but for whatever reason, well, I've had you on the podcast, on the crafties and everything, we just never really got into that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you had that sort of a strange relationship with your dad. So
right.
Why don't you take us back to the beginning? You're originally obviously from Seattle. And
yeah. Grew up in Shoreline, Washington. Lake Forest Park is really where it is. But Shoreline, I think, has got a little bit more clout as far as like city-wise. But it's like 25 minutes north of the city. And grew up there and, had a pretty, normal. I just start crying right away.
Clear to start right away. Had a pretty.
And, I had a couple friends. Jeremiah Fulford
Foster.
If he
does that, go tight on him. Go tight on him if he cries.
We get a slow zoom if I clear my throat again. Holy shit.
It always makes me laugh where those things hit you. Like, I had a pretty.
Oh, my. The timing was so. I had a pretty good childhood. Cut away. Cut to some clips of my friend's mom's boobs in the public. Public boobs. Cut to public boobs. So folks were, I never remember hearing my folks fight or, it's so funny. I've now got a chance to look back at like old VHS tapes of like birthday parties that my mom and dad threw for my sister and I, like at 6, and seeing like weird potato sack races in the backyard. And we had like a little treehouse. And, my dad, still a doctor, I'm 75, I think right now, just turned 75, was a big cardiovascular surgeon in downtown Seattle. And open heart surgeries were his forte. I mean, just a crazy, and a great bedside, just a killer doc. And so we definitely didn't have like, a boat and shit like that. But
you said a killer doc. I'm sitting here.
Hilarious.
That's the last thing I wanted. What, yeah. What's
this
your
guy's
nickname,
a killer.
Killer. Like, can we get another cardiologist up in this moment?
No, he just, it's hand, eye coordinate. Like, he just, people loved him. He just was great, like highly, as I got older and learning just how like respected he
Can
was
I
in the medical field.
Is there ever been a moment where you were with him or did he ever told you where he ran into someone who he's life he saved and they're like, oh my God,
oh,
Dr.
Yeah.
Ray.
Oh yeah.
For real?
Oh yeah, dude.
Witnessed that?
No, he just told me. And even now he tells me he works at a VA clinic in Salem, Oregon and just the amount of like, he just loves it, which is why he just doesn't want to stop practicing. He truly just,
he still has the patience and the eye hand coordination.
Yeah, man. Well, he's not doing surgery, so it's more, he's now I guess general practitioner you would call it, but he's just got so much great experience and so he's just so good with people and the way that he has just helped a lot of these vets and even non-vets, and some of the emails and texts they send him and stories that he'll tell me of them just coming back after he's gotten them on a more proper path, and it's cool. It's really it fulfills him like none other, and you want that for your folks at this stage. You're just like, you want them to be happy and so him and my mom, I think they were married 20 years. I think my mom's like always said like 10 of them were pretty good, and then they, just got into it. Dad working late nights at the hospital, start to fight, this and that. And then dad ends up meeting my now stepmom at the hospital. Things happen, that was, I think that was sex is what that this was.
And, pretty sure. I figured that out.
And new family starts. They, also, this was about at like 8 or 9, which I don't even think you, certain things you don't even, it's not like I'd seen an episode of TV where divorce happened or infidelity or anything like that. So you don't really know.
But do they sit down and have a conversation with
you? So I remember, I think there were some signs too, like my sister, a couple years older than me, was always a little more in tune to what was happening, and which is why it's taken her longer to kind of repatch things with my dad. I was a little more aloof, so I was kind of like, oh, we still get to see him when we just go to a different house? All right, we get two houses? Fucking right, yeah. Life rules. You know, sandwiches and two different bedrooms. And so, but then once you get over to like your dad's new spot and it's, and once it's all real and you're like, oh, there's my stepmom and her kid. And then
so
you're
she
like.
She had a child?
He had a child already. And then they had two together, which are now, you know, half brothers, but I just call them brothers because
They are. That's all they are.
Yeah, and it's like I spent a lot of time around them in their growing up years, and we've kind of lived similar lives as far as going through a lot at a young age. You know, I mean, you know, we don't even have enough time for me to dive into some of the true insanity of all that that kind of has transpired. But going to a different house and seeing my dad with a new family, yeah, that was when it kind of hit. And then even seeing my mom starting to date is when it was all like, oh, wow, this is like, shit is different, man. And you get so accustomed as a kid to just being like, having my folks. And right. Even if, you know, I always remember having a fine relationship with my dad growing up and taking me to all my sports and doing this. And mom always the true crusher, I think. But dad, I never felt like I didn't have a dad up until 8 or 9.
So was your sister the one that would come in and be like, you know, mom and dad are having problems and start telling you things?
No, she would just kind of cry and yell at them, I think, for fighting and then just.
So they did start the fight toward the end there?
Oh, yeah. And then
they get divorced. But do you remember them talking to you about how things are going to be different at all?
Not really. I just remember the move. And again, I always.
You mean your dad actually moving out? You remember that?
Yeah, for sure. And that was like same kind of driveway. It was like real crazy because it was just like. But again, I think I've always had this glass half full approach to life. I think just because, I don't know, I just, you know, just didn't let negativity really make its way in. But I think also by default, like seeing at an early age, even the way it was affecting my mom. And my sis, I had a weird, like, you know, understanding of, like, oh, I'm kind of the dude now. And then my grandpa even told me that at, like, 9. He's like, you're the man of the house, you know? And I was like, fucking, that's a lot of pressure,
Gramps. How far away do you live?
I'm trying to enjoy these fucking handy snacks. Can we fucking lower the bar on...
Can you come over and be the fucking man?
Yeah, dude.
God, you are a man. How far away do you live,
You can drive, Grandpa.
Can't you be here, like, 10 minutes if shit goes down? Yeah.
Well, they lived in Oklahoma, which my mom almost moved us to because now she's just kind of like.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Did you stay in the house, the same house?
No, we moved. And the house was cool, man. We had a big playroom and a backyard.
Yeah,
and like
that was
was the bummer, dude.
Yeah.
And but we moved not too far away. And so I still was in the same school district and had my same buddies. But my mom had an opportunity to move us to Oklahoma. And she almost did to be closer to her folks. They would help. Help financially too, and because my mom started doing the 3-4 single mom job situation and trying to raise my sister and I, and then my
was
sister
your dad not did he just
man just not
associate all together.
Yeah, I mean it was we would go to his place every other weekend, and again that's why it was like just seeing the new situation, and I just immediately innately was like I'm gonna just try to make the best of this, like again like still get to be around him, go to his house, like, and I just would see how. Awful my sister was kind of taking it and how she would kind of treat my stepmom and even my dad a little, and I was like, or again by default I gotta be the one that's like not having a problem with this, so I'd be like, oh Renee, my stepmom, just like, oh, it's so good to see you. Like just so happy and peppy into my dad and just trying to get to know my new brother and just like be really, I mean literally at like 9 just being like, everything's fucking this dude, this is great, like, you know, like things didn't work with my mom and dad, but like it wasn't like, but it works with you guys, like it's supposed to happen like this, you know, like truly just thinking that way. And it didn't like eat at me to do that because I felt like I was helping. And also it was easier and I think healthier to think like that because, and I think that
that is very mature to even
oh,
if
man.
You're not believing it in your soul to think that way
yeah.
to get you through something like that, I think is really wise.
Yeah, it's definitely bled into who I am today, and I think is a blessing and a curse, because there's probably times that I, you know, have probably, and I don't even want to say like suppressed or buried a lot of all of that stuff, because my mom did try to get me into counseling like shortly after.
We heard it in the throat clear. We heard it all in the throat clear, bro.
You didn't we heard it out of the throat gate. Clear, dude.
You were still in the gate pulling the horse around.
By the way, if we heard it in the throat clear, isn't some R&B ballad that's about some
I
guy?
I heard it in your throat clear.
I see it in your eyes. The emotion's getting heavy.
I'ma eat these fries.
That's the music video. It's the person sitting across from the guy singing. Sad. And he's just like, if you're going to keep being crazy and bringing tears to this lunch, then I'm going to take your fry and probably skip next week's brunch. My dad was just, you know, not... He didn't like talk to me about it all and try to like be like, hey, this is what's happening. And this is, he just also was kind of like, I could also even get a sense from him that it was like even when he.
So you were thrown in the deep end. Yeah. It was you. He was trying to figure out what the fuck he was doing. Dude, and yeah, you were trying to figure out what everything was going on.
Oh yeah, dude. I think even getting pregnant caught him off guard. And I remember my mom telling me later in life that even him telling her that, because I would see them when he would drop us back off. They would,
yeah. Did they talk?
Man, that was always. It's so funny how you can tap back into that, and I appreciate you making me do that. But yeah. there's a. Can we get Jeremiah Fulford Foster on the phone? Can I get some MLB 2001 on the screen?
It'll just be his campaign poster while you cry behind it.
I can see it in your eyes.
I heard it in your throat clear.
Holy shit.
It's all
dude.
Packed in that little half a second moment. It's all packed in there. Isn't that crazy? That is crazy, dude. All right. So when you guys drop off and
dude, that,
they,
that
when
exchange,
they cross paths at games, at whatever they see.
Yeah,
each
dude,
other.
It's like their moment because they, it's so sad to even think about now, like that they were, it was so contentious and it's like, man, that they've been together that long and now they're not, and like you don't take that into consideration as a kid. You're just like,
you're only 9 years, they're 20.
Yeah, dude, it didn't work. So you're just like, oh cool. Like again, you're trying to kind of make sense of what's happening and going to that therapy thing, and this guy had like a mini basketball hoop in the corner, and he was a, you know, got heavy set dude with a beard, and he'd sit behind the desk, and he was just like, my mom would drop me off. She's like, you just need to try to do that. And I was like, I don't want to talk to some stranger about what's happening. Like, I'm fine.
Guy's got me doing layup drills. Yeah. I don't know how that's helpful.
Before I even open up from the heart, he's having me fucking triple threat and chest pass. This guy's not a real basketball coach. And so I would, though, want to play. I wouldn't want to talk to him. I'd shoot hoops. And then finally, I remember I walked in one day, and I shot the little like rubber ball or the little foam ball, and it bounced off the thing right to him in his chair, and he's caught it, and he goes, now, I'll let you keep shooting hoops if we talk about what's going on. I'll never forget that, dude.
Yeah.
And I just was like, like, and then I remember, and I sat down defiant and was just like, nah, man, you're not getting in here. You know, I give him very, you know, generic answers of just like.
That's the kind of shit I would say to priests for confession.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been speeding a little bit too much.
Because you're just, it's uncomfortable. And even as a kid, you're just like, something normal about me opening up to this guy.
Right.
And I don't want to. And again, It was almost shining a light on it and making it seem more severe.
But you were in there by yourself? You'd be dropped off, huh?
Yeah, because my sis just didn't want to go.
But not no parent would stay?
No, my mom would be outside, you know, but it was for the kid to my mom was like, it's also like as a parent, I think she's just like, I mean, you can attest, you're just like, I got to do something here. I need.
Yes.
So this is probably the move to
put
in.
But I was you too. We had to go to a therapist as a kid too, yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah. You're like, who the fuck is this person?
And I didn't want to talk about it because I had felt like I was dealing with it okay. I was enjoying the fact that I had made a choice about just kind of being the rock, more or less, and not letting it get to me. Because A, it was healthier for me, and B, it was helping a little bit to be a fun and upbeat. And there were other things that would get to me later that, like, the mom dating thing. But anyway, to speak to their exchange real quick, like, yeah, they, my dad would drop us off, and sometimes they would chat a bit, and, you know, I don't think my pops was really, you know, financially was, could come to the aid of my mom for, you know, child support and stuff. And so that was, you know, obviously an issue. And sometimes it'd be a short exchange, and sometimes I remember just straight up yelling, and it was, that was crazy. Cause again, I'd never seen the fighting live. Right. So I was just like, whoa, like this is, and I would just go inside cause I just didn't want to see it. It was just like, whoa. I thought it was like, you know, something you only heard about, like that they were fighting. Now you're seeing it. It's like, you know, it's like you hear about the Playboy Mansion as a kid, and then you go and you're like, I did not expect there to be this many ex, and then insert funny improv, you know, but there's a, but we can cut something.
We'll cut something in for you. Don't worry. We'll cut something.
I had something on the tip of my tongue, and I just didn't want to go with it. I was going to say extras from Angels in the Outfield, but it just didn't, you know. Because I think back in the day, anybody could go to the mansion, right?
Yeah, right.
If you knew, yeah. Adrian Brody was probably there before he was Adrian Brody, right?
Yeah,
right?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I would just go inside to avoid all that. But it truly didn't get to me again until seeing my mom start to date. Because then it's, again, then it was real. And
how long after, how old are you when you're seeing that?
I mean, dude, it was, I want to say maybe a couple years. And again, my mom would tell me later in life as we would chat about this, which gave me it made me feel really good about the fact that I was so, you know, again, as by default, trying to just be upbeat and be there for my mom. And I would, again, seeing my sister start to have trouble at school and kind of get involved with some of the wrong crowds, I would, again, try to come home and clean the house and get everything of the, you know, dishes or whatever and do all my homework and just not be a problem child at all, because my mom was going through all this, and then also my sister was starting to be a troublesome kid and be in her room a lot and just sometimes disappear, excuse me, for a couple of days. And so I just would try to be steady. And then when she started dating, you know, later in life, in high school, I was all for it. Because in high school, my mom and I would be sitting there, just my mom and I. My sister went away to a girls' school for a little bit, and I'm jumping around, but I would see my mom and I'd be leaving for a party on a Friday night in high school. My mom would be sitting there watching TV, and I just was like, all right, I'm not going out. I was like, Mom, let's go see a movie. Or let's hang out. What are you watching? And we would just hang out, because I just felt bad. I was like, I can't, you know. And at this point, too, my mom and I had gotten to be more friends. Because as a kid, and even in high school, you don't see your parents as people. You're just like, you're, you know. And also, I'm like 16, 17, 18, like bouncing between being a man and needing my mom. So I'm like, can you wash my jerseys and make my lunch, because I'm going to go in early for practice. But then, like, give me some space, because I'm a man, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have chicks over maybe at some point if you let me, with the door closed. It'll be, all right, open, but whatever. And so I would not go out a lot towards the end of high school, because I was just like, man, she doesn't deserve this, and this sucks. And I don't, and it was a lot more visible to me of, like, the emotional impact of her by herself. I mean, oh, so just so sad. And so when she met my stepdad finally, I was going to say,
good for your mom for going out, because it couldn't.
And she just needed to at some point. I'm sure my grandparents even gave her.
But to watch your husband of 20 years leave and then go start a new family.
Right away,
then,
by the way.
Yeah,
it's
right
not
away.
Like they divorced and then right. They both did their thing. And maybe
because they had already had this relationship at work.
Think of any breakup. You have your times where you're, I mean, at least for me, it's like I remember in all three of my kind of situations that ended, it was, you know, texting and calling and even meeting back up and just and trying to, because you just you let go, but you don't want to completely let go, and you're trying to transition into, you know, the end of it. So it's different for everybody, whether you go you know, cold turkey and just cut it all off, which I think, you know, is probably the best way. But, you know, in this day and age with, you know, all the social media,
man,
and looking at people's shit.
Oh.
It's, I mean, Brent Morin's got great bits about it with his ex, and just seeing, you know, like back in the day, I think he was talking about how, you know, with Instagram, like the way he'll look at pictures and see her with dudes and saw her with a dude, and that'd be the equivalent of like go standing outside of her house and like looking through the window and who's that guy, and then like yelling through the window, which is like liking it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Brent Morin's the man.
Let's take a quick break from the Honeydew to tell you about our first sponsor, ExpressVPN. If you believe that you're not being snooped on or that nobody cares about your online data, well, then I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you are wrong. Because you listen to my show, you're obviously smart enough to understand that your privacy is under attack. Hackers, governments, ad companies, and ISPs are all gobbling up your data, like all of it. That's why I recommend getting the software that I trust to protect my online activity, ExpressVPN. Their apps use powerful encryption to secure your data. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or phone, and then you use the internet just like you normally would. You download the app, you click to connect, and voila, you're protected. I never go online without ExpressVPN, and you shouldn't either. ExpressVPN is the fastest VPN I've tried. It costs less than $7 a month, and it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. ExpressVPN uses new cutting-edge technology called Trusted Server to make sure there's no logs of what you do online. It's time to stop the hackers, Big Brother, and internet companies from grabbing all your data. Take back your online privacy like I did with ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/honeydew. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/honeydew to learn more. Our next sponsor is Upstart. And as most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. When I was in college, man, the first thing I did was get a credit card, and then I had to live off of it. Next thing you know, boom, you're $40,000 in debt, and you ain't getting out of it. So Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part? Once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day. That's the next day. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and will not affect your credit. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Our last sponsor is Hims, guys, and specifically guys. With age comes wisdom, but getting older can be a downer, you know what I'm saying? Especially in one area specifically, 40% of men by age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Do not go to weird solutions. Definitely don't do nothing, especially when you can turn instead to medicine and science. You don't need expensive pills. You don't need to be getting injections where no man wants an injection. I'm telling you, these pills work. We have people here in the studio to take them. They swear by them, especially right over there in the booth. They love them. Be wise. Check out Hims. They absolutely work. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real licensed doctors and FDA-approved pharmaceutical products to treat ED. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescription to help you combat ED. Prescription solutions are backed by science, and they're made more affordable. You'll see results where other treatments will fall short. Stop worrying about multiple in-office doctor visits. There's no painful injections like other treatments. It's super easy. You can answer questions about your medical history and chat with a doctor for confidential review. If approved by the doctor, products are shipped directly to your door, and being your best means performing your best. It's erectile without the dysfunction, you know what I'm saying? Hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval, and they do require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. Don't be foolish. Go look at that website, get the full details, read the safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/honeydew. That's forhims.com/honeydew. forhims.com/honeydew. And now back to the do.
But so I just didn't think that my mom would maybe date ever. And then also it starts to happen. And these guys are coming over and you're like, hey, what's up, man? And you're like, hey, can I shoot some hoops with you? Can we, this guy named Dennis, he's like, can I get, hey, you mind if I pop up a few basket shots? And I was like, oh boy. And again, trying to be nice kid.
Yeah, right.
Being like, oh, yeah, sure, man. Like, yeah. And then I remember handing him the ball. It was like out of a movie, like out of some like Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Ted Danson. Wasn't that Getting Even with Dad? Wasn't that the movie?
I don't remember.
There's a movie
that
with JTT and I think Chevy Chase and Ted Danson, where one of those guys is a stepdad and they go to camp. I'm paraphrasing. If this isn't the fucking
it
synopsis, somebody write that. Ted Danson, Chevy Chase, JTT, Mary Fuck Hill. And so, I pass him the ball and he grabs it and he just goes, ah, and he spins it. And I'm like, okay. And then he literally was like, and I was like, oh, God,
he just
no.
Flung it up like
there's
that.
No way this guy can be in my life post today.
Right.
If he's ever driving me to school or a game and trying to mix it up with other dads. Hey, you guys also, oh, I was just shooting basket shots with my new son.
Basket
Don't
shot.
Say that. And then I remember, it was so embarrassing that I remember I told my mom, I was like, he shoots weird. And she was like, what? And I was like, you can't date this guy. He shoots weird. And my mom again's like, she's like, I need, like, you know, and even just trying to say something to her. Yeah, I'm trying to, this isn't easy for me either. I'm trying to put myself back out there. And then she dated this guy named Harvey Greenberg. Shout out to Harvey. I'll say his full name because just Harvey doesn't do it justice. Greenberg,
yeah, that's
you're
a
like,
good problem.
Jew? Good guy. Let us watch the Blue Angels on his roof one summer, I remember, which was dope. And was chill and had like a good vibe. It was the first guy where I was like, and he came up and gave me a good handshake and didn't try to say anything. Again, Dennis with the fucking, you know.
Basket shots.
Yeah, the basket shots and the weird. He was trying too hard, yeah. Which as a kid, you don't have any sort of wherewithal to give him benefit of the doubt. You're just like, fuck you for even trying.
Yeah,
because
right.
You're trying too hard and you're like, ease into this. But also, I think it was the first guy, so I just wasn't on board with any choice. Harvey was all right. There's a guy named Richard who was a glass blower.
Mom.
And this guy, by the way, this is great. I've never gone through the lineage of my mom's dating.
This is great.
Past.
So wait, what was
my stepdad
what was
George
basket
tunes
shots?
Into this
do you remember
episode.
What he did?
Basket shots
do you remember
was
what
a
his occupation.
Damn, I don't, but I do remember. Oh God, this is so fucked up, dude. I called him Marshmallow Face.
Why? That's a huge thing now. You were way ahead of your time, bro. There's a guy that wears a head.
He had look, my mom is an attractive gal and fun and, I mean, puddin', like she's always just, I you know, even looking back and seeing old pictures, I'm like, she was a fucking catch and she rules and she crushed it as a mom, probably crushed it as a wife. I know she's crushing it now. So at that point, I'm just like, oh, we truly are just jumping in without any, like, I think for the first couple of go-arounds, standards were not a concern. And this guy, again, I think showed her, showed some interest, but, like, he had a really fucking, just puff, like, he looked like a marshmallow. And I remember calling him Marshmallow Face. I think that was one of the last times I saw him.
You said it to him?
Yeah.
Why?
But that was before... Here's why I even had the chutzpah to come at him verbally. He was the first guy I saw my mom kiss. That wasn't my dad. And dude, that...
Where was it?
In my bed. And so... Good night, everybody. I'm trying to sleep.
You're trying to sleep. Roll over, man.
Scoot over.
Come on, Marshmallow.
Scoot over,
pillow
man.
All sticky.
Yeah.
You get my pillow all sticky.
You threw a shitty bounce pass on the court. At least you could give me an alley-oop here.
At least what's his nuts could do basket shots for Christ's sake.
No, they were
where were they?
Outside in the in the driveway where the basketball hoop was.
Where were you?
So talk about home court advantage. talk about the away team getting
a W. You don't come on our court and do that shit, motherfucker.
Whoa, dude, I'm gonna pass out from how insane that is.
Where were you?
In my bedroom,
house,
dude. The
looking
window,
out the window?
Imagine this being, we're on the second floor of a house, and you look out the window, and you just like it truly is again out of a movie where the layout is just set up for
driveway was
for
wet.
Tears to fall from that window. Not only tears, but Pop-Tart crumbs. Again, this is when I'm starting to eat my feelings and double fist Pop-Tarts and dip everything in Cool Whip. If I could hold you with one hand, you're going into some Cool Whip.
That was your rule? If it was one hand, then it was getting dipped.
And if you were able to be held in one and more than one of you came in a box, there's a chance that double I dip. Was just, you know, a couple. Remember dips? Remember those granola bars dipped in chocolate? I used to just fucking this and then just cross them up and, you know. And so I had every Disney afternoon snack and soccer practice halftime show in my mouth. And I'm chomping down. And I remember he brought her home. And, dude, it just got me so riled up. I was just so, I think this is when I was, A, didn't like him, and B, I go, oh, it's, because I definitely held on for a long time, man, of hoping that my mom and dad would get back together.
You did.
Oh, yeah. And so, I used to have, like, dreams about it, and just, yeah, it was crazy. It was really...
So you went and confronted him after the kiss or another time? Like, did you run out of the house?
No, so him dropping her off and then seeing them outside my window and just like, seeing them kiss. Again, it was the first time I'd seen her even be affectionate with anybody that wasn't my dad. So it was just, like, devastating. I mean, I literally, like, 0 to 60 in a heartbeat and just... I mean, window closed. Screaming, and then and just saw, I mean, just like crying so hard, dude. And then and then I would just go off on my mom, and then like, why are you doing, like, I think I'd be like, why are you doing this to dad, or what, like, again with this delusional thought that like maybe they would patch things up, even though he had clearly moved on.
So did you go,
she's
you probably,
you know, she's like, she doesn't smoke, but it's funny for the bit, but you know, you think it's gonna, he's got another family. I think that's game, set, match. It's probably what she was thinking, exactly. You know? So I gotta try something.
Did you go downstairs and talk to your mom?
Well, first of all, I yelled out the window. And you by did. The way, so I'm probably, I think like second or third date when I see this again. First one just lost it and just, I don't even know what's going on. But also seeing them lock lips to me was like, oh, it's over. Like the chances of them getting back together. That's probably what really hit hard was like, oh, this is a wrap on any sort of reconciliation. And so I remember on third or fourth date opening the window and getting up enough courage to scream at him, because I'd already starting to be show some disdain in our interactions and just be a little like, you know, Adam, how are you? I'd be like, fine, you know, just that type of shit where he's just like, god damn it, man, all right, what do I gotta do? I gotta buy you a laptop. Yeah, it's a good start, you know. And and so I remember opening the window, and I know a handful of swear words at, what is this now, 10 maybe. So I literally remember mouthful of Pop-Tarts just being like, you, like, a weird combo in no particular order of like, you boner pussy bitch, like, you, you asshole, cocksucker tits, like just saying everything. And I remember him pulling away from my mom and looking up being like, and seeing him say something to her, which I can only assume was, did your son just call me an asshole pussy tits? A boner AIDS bitch?
Screaming at
where
the
is
neighbor.
He learning this vernacular? And then again, yeah, I would just take it out of my mom. And so that didn't work out. Richard the glass blower was dope. She got a lot of cool free glass. Going to see him do that was insane. It was kind of a cool artsy thing, too, that I was like, all right, this guy's like weird.
So... back then, the apps didn't exist. Or where's your mom meeting these eclectic?
I think there's
men?
Like Jewish singles things, and then
is that
friends,
what it was? Okay.
So, blind dates.
Who knew the glass blower? Who was that connection?
I think he was.
I know this guy. I think down he was Jewish. Pier. Okay, I'm telling you, he's magic with his mouth.
I've been noticing how little glass you got in your house. I got a friend named Richard who could fill this place up. Fill you up. That's fill not a euphemism, up. Okay? Fill your heart up. Not you fucking pervert.
Not
you want
fucking
that.
Sick pervert.
Yeah.
He does have a collection of glass vaginas if you'd like a mold. But that's not
he
what I
He can show
meant.
You what he'd do to you first. almost like a voodoo doll, but it's right in front of your face.
Dude, that guy's probably got like a whole shelf of glass dildos. These are all mine, right? It's all after me.
He's probably like, got a blown color. Glass voodoo doll of me that he stabs. Every time I get stomach pains or get the shits, he's probably doing it. Because I ended that one quickly, dude.
That's a good pull. You got to pull the plug on the glass.
After Marshmallow Face, I gotten some confidence to take down the next opponent.
Yeah.
It was like your rookie year making it to the playoffs, and you go back next year, and you're like, oh, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to do to take down the Warriors, you know? So I remember being at dinner, and Rich is sitting there, and at one point I'm just doing this with my fork.
Are you at a restaurant or at your house?
Oh, we're at home. Yeah. So again, I feel comfortable. I'm like, my bedroom is two steps away, dude. If I really want to, I can say something and go there. What's he going to do, burst into my bedroom? That's fucking, you're done, dude, if you do that. If you're not my dad and you just burst into my room, I'm sure mom's going to be like, okay, dude, you can't just go into kids' rooms. And so I'm doing this, and all of a sudden he's like, can you please stop? And I'm like, stop what? Isn't that insane, dude? But again, stop what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Rich? Called him Rich. His name's Richard. Whoa, dude. You're not one of his glass-blowing comrades, and you're calling him Rich?
Listen, Dick.
Listen, Dick.
Listen, you Dick. Work with glass, and your motherfucking windshield's cracked. I don't trust you.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. If I ever write a one-man show about all this, you're writing and producing the whole thing, dude. Because that is so fucking funny.
I would love to.
You work with glass and your windshield's broke. If I said that as a kid, dude, he probably would just step up and go,
"He's not
getting better than that, dude. I'm leaving on that." You know what? This kid's going to outshine me in every aspect of this relationship. I'm out. He's probably got a bigger cock than me. I'm out, dude. I saw the way he double fist pop darts. I'm out. So that ended shortly after that. And then she met this guy, named, Howard. And that one actually was cool for a while. That one was, he was a good dude. He was cool. He had almost like a Sinatra Rat Pack vibe to him, but it was cool. And he didn't try to, he was just like, Adam, he was like, hey, what's up, man? Like, yeah. And he just was cool and he was nice. And I think again, I had, you know, like any sort of, it's not like I was the one dating, but going through this, I was looking for something like, almost like as a casting director, you see a bunch of shitty actors, you're like, God, I want this next one to be the one. Can this guy be our Air Bud? You know?
Air Bud!
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a tough casting decision.
That would be tough.
Yeah. How many Cocker Spaniels can catch a Frisbee and throw a split finger slider?
Right here. This one's got something right here.
So
you're making me think now about just being like when I dated my stepson's mom. Like, I know he was the same way. Like, you know, you're cool. He would tell her all the time, if you get somebody new, you better have somebody with a good laugh. He'd say shit like that.
Wow.
But when I first
they hit the jackpot with you, by the way,
they did. They really did.
They did.
I appreciate that.
And I can also speak to that of going through it. It's like they're and knowing you and just, you know,
I can shoot baskets. Okay.
Also, you don't call them basket
shots.
That's
exactly right. That's what I mean. I couldn't even do it. Even if I couldn't even bring myself to say it wrong.
Even if he had tried, again, I would have appreciated him just being like, you got a wicked jumper. Like, just say the jargon, and just. But he didn't even pretend. Yeah. As soon as he's working
on that crossover, that's all you got to say, and walk away.
Just like, walk away, right, dude. Right. And just start, and even try, if you know that that's your shot, do a quick, like, holy shit, is that Meryl Streep? Or I don't know who I was into at 10, but, you know, what? The lead from River Wild, you know? And then fucking chuck it up. And then let me just hear the bounce and be like, oh, he. And then him just be like, oh, dude, I barely missed it, you know? And then just go inside. But
the first night I got to hang out with him, I remember exactly like it was yesterday.
Did you try hard?
No, she was like, all right, you want to come over? I'm like, yeah, I really want to meet the kid. And she had brought him to work a while before, so I had seen him, but I didn't get to meet him or hang out with him. And he was a sweet kid, and he was just like me, wore his tighty whities everywhere. He was in his tighty whities, and I brought pizza dough and sauce, and I was like, we're all going to make pizza, right?
Wow, dude.
And he's over there rolling the dough and stuff, and I just step back, and look at you, making pizza in your underpants. And he just fucking turned and looked at his mom, and it was like, what the fuck? And I started laughing, and that was it.
He started laughing too.
He did. I did. I was just that was it. Then we just he got jokes. He got all my stupid jokes. Like I would fuck with him all the time, and he loved it. So yeah, we've been. Now we're super tight.
Did you hear that, Dennis? A little bit of pizza dough.
That's all it is.
And a
Dennis.
Couple of underpants jokes,
that's it.
And you and I could be hanging out post podcast.
Done.
That truly is a. I mean, dude. And
put the glass down.
When they say comedy is like a cure, it. And just like an equalizer, like, dude, I mean, yeah, like him, you and him getting on the same page like that and recognizing, like, that's just an icebreaker, and you get a gauge on each other's sensibilities in that moment. And like,
but also for, you would be very good at that because you went through it the same way.
I think so.
You know how to talk to that kid.
Well, I can play basketball too.
Yeah, you can definitely play basketball.
Yeah.
But you know how to talk to that kid. You know what to say
to
that kid. It's not like you're like, I never went through anything like this, and I don't really know what the fuck to say to you. I know what's going on, dude.
So Howard was cool. He's the last one before my stepdad, I believe, and George, who's just the best. And
they've been together for our
now. Yeah, now. And they both always say, too, that it's just, they're like, again, my mom dated, for 10 years, maybe 11, before she met George. And that is their one regret. And they say it a good amount where they're just like, wish we met earlier, you know, just to have a little bit more.
What was it about him that you, did you know right away? Or were you like, this one right here? Or?
Well, real quick, Howard saw that I was playing the clarinet. My mom always wanted me to play the saxophone. And she even sent me to a band camp where it was like, they helped you. It was a cool camp, but then it was music oriented. And so, you know, you got to try other instruments, and it was a cool chance to play the sax. And, you know, woodwind family, so, you know, going from the clarinet to the sax.
I played the licorice stick.
Yeah. So it's, like, not that crazy of a move-up. But Howard bought me, for the camp, a saxophone to take with me. But it was, like, a used saxophone. I remember opening the case, and it just smelled like somebody had just peed in it. Like, literally a homeless guy.
Reed smells like cigarette smoke.
Oh, sweaty Reed still attached. I remember I put it in my mouth, and I was like.
He bought that shit at a yard sale on the way over.
Yeah, dude. Or tried it out himself, or let the guy who sold it to him be like.
Pissed at it.
He's like, does it still sound good? He's like, let me show you. And then just spit on it and goes, give that to a 10-year-old, you know? And so I remember opening it being
isn't it funny you can still remember how bad that thing smelled?
How bad it smelled. Well, also, it's like a saxophone case isn't a small production.
No.
And you open it, and whatever has been hiding in there is coming straight for your nostrils. And there was no way to diffuse that. I remember going to camp, even like taking it into the bathroom to take my sax out. And everyone's like, what is he doing to that sax, you know? But I was like, I'm just trying to avoid the stench getting into our bunk, you know, Damien. And so... there's a kid who was in our camp named Damien, who was just a real piece of work, and he always hogged the tire swing. I remember that, and you know, would brag about getting bullseyes in archery. And it was like, dude, I know that you didn't sign up for that activity. There's no way that you hit the bullseye. He's like, yeah, you just weren't there. Okay, man, this is who you are, by the way, and you're gonna be that guy. You're the type of guy who's gonna complain about bad sushi on airplanes. Nobody wants to hear that. You're going to be the guy who's like, you know who's got terrible California rolls? Delta Airlines.
Delta.
You're like, cool, Damien. How'd that bullseye go, you fucking fake Robin Hood?
Delta's got the worst sushi. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just doesn't get it. It's confused when Mariah Carey throws a first pitch that into the ground, you know? Like, oh, really? She hit that F sharp pretty well at the Grammys. She can't throw a slider? So Howard was cool. The sax thing I could get over. Then that doesn't work out. And then, again, getting ready to go to college. Got into USC. Skipped my NYU audition because our basketball team was one game away from going to the playoffs in high school. Basketball was my sport, and I was an integral part of the team, and, you know, set some three-point records at high school and just was all about it, you know? And that's why playing in the NBA celeb game was just, like, literally...
Yeah, that was awesome.
Literally the, you know, like, could have... It was the best. Closest thing I'll ever get to being in the NBA. Just to be, you know, to have Ray Allen, you know, me post up Steve Smith and Ray Allen, and me being like, yo, being like, Ray to Ray, you know, and having him be like, you know, like, at least I got to get, you know, shaken off by a Hall of Famer. And so I skipped that audition and got into SC, and I was going to go, and I had a lot of trepidations about it because, again, I was going to leave my mom, and she hadn't met anybody, and she was like, you got to go away from school. You got into the acting school. You got to go there. We'll figure it out. Shit ton of loans. You know, got a little bit of financial aid and some single mom, you know, tugging at the heartstrings cash, and my grandparents helped for like one semester. And look, it is not what it is now. Like, I look back, it was a lot then.
Yeah.
But like, oh man, I probably would not even go if it were now, because it's just like quadrupled as far as like how much it costs for a semester. So mom was like, you got to go. And I was like, yeah. She's like, you're going to regret not going. You got in. You went down there, you auditioned. Thousands of kids each year for this BFA acting program. They're taking 15 of you. You got in. You're not going to go. And I was just like, well, you're going to be by yourself. And okay, I don't want you to get back together with Richard or Marshmallow Face. Like, what's going to happen? Right. You know? And so I go, and or I'm going to go. And literally probably a month before I'm going to drive down there and move in, she meets George, my stepdad, and he had just converted to Judaism. And so they met, I think, at Temple through a friend. I think my mom's friend, Peggy Prinz, Jew, had gone on a date with him and didn't work out. And she suggested, she's like, hey, this is one of those guys, George, he's nice. He might be your, you know, mom wasn't really feeling it. He took her to the symphony the first night. He's like a real West Point grad, had a paper out since he was fucking seven, is still up, financial advisor, just retired from Morgan Stanley, numbers guy, started this amazing nonprofit called the Alexander Hamilton and Friends Association, which is now in its like 15th year, where they self-funded it on his own, and now it's this huge program, still looking for investors and donors always, so fucking donate. But it's this, they give high-achieving high school kids, low-income, high-achieving, underprivileged high school kids, not just scholarships and being like, here's some cash, but they have like this leadership week in Seattle. They do a leadership thing in New York. They do a Guatemala service trip.
I've been saying I would love to do that for so long, because that was me. I did good in school. None of that shit, no parents, no anything. I would have been a candidate for this.
You would have, and they would have accepted. And some of the kids that they don't even take, I read their stories of like, I'm supporting my six brothers and my grandma living in a studio apartment. I have straight A's. I have two jobs. You're like, what the fuck, right, dude? And I'm complaining about spraining my ankle falling out of an Uber. Like, and these kids are just insane. And so he did all that and just real good to my mom and big on puns, you know, things like he came to SC and saw one of my plays senior year and there was like a rusty nail in my shitty little apartment that I lived with three acting kids, and one of them sold weed and had two chinchillas that eventually ate each other. Boomer and Mama ate each other. What happened, Tori? Boomer ate Mama. Oh, fuck. Guess
for
it's
real?
Time to move out. Yeah. Chinchillas. Never thought I would be around a chinchilla in my entire life. And these two...
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, dude. They're vicious creatures. Damn. But they were sweet. I definitely got way too high one night, and one of them got out. And look, I'm an animal person. And by that, I mean like dog. And then... Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
Cats can go fuck themselves. The amount of times, look, I kicked my sister's cat in, I think, seventh grade, and I think word spread to the rest of the feline community.
Don't fuck with this guy.
Because the way that, don't fuck with this guy, because the way that friends' cats look at me, even stray cats, that's how you know that fucking the message got passed down. Like, if you just walk through an alley or out of a fucking Baskin Robbins and see a cat just go, you're like, I know what you did to Marco in 1994, you know?
You know? Viva Marco! Yeah.
I saw that push off with your foot. Oh, yeah, it was gentle. Fuck that bullshit, man. You pushed hard. You had shoes on. You were wearing the Patrick Ewing Adidas. Remember that shoe? Just said Ewing on the back.
I had that shoe.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it was Reebok. And what was my point? Dog, George. The fuck was I talking about?
Talking about how good of a duty he was.
Good of a duty. Oh, the puns. Oh, he picks up a nail. Chinchillas eat each other. Rusty nail. And he goes, well, Adam, he goes, good job. He goes, boy, it's a great show. He goes, you really nailed the part. Like that type of shit.
Yeah.
But he is a quick thinker, man. And to his credit, like sometimes it took me a while to get to know his sensibility comedically. So he'd say something and I'd be like, was that the joke? I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about, dude? You and I are not on the same page. And then he took me to a Sonics game, RIP, Sonics versus Lakers, to ask me if he could marry my mom.
Wow, fuck was, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Good man.
Because he knew. He just, like, he
good
saw.
Man.
And again, I was at a time where I was so accepting of, like, I'm about to leave for college. I need my mom to not be alone. And so definitely I probably was going in like, again, wanting this, you know, let's let this be the Air Bud that fucking shoot three pointers, you know? Like I wanted him to be the guy.
He's out there nosing threes.
He's like, in 20 years, this reference is going to make sense. What? You'll say it on a podcast.
You'll see.
And so I was like, all right, he's cool. He's not trying too hard. He did buy me a computer for college, big time, joking about the buy me a laptop. He did that. And I said no at first, too. And he did it anyway. Because I was just like, no, I go, I appreciate it, man. I go, you know, and all this. And they took me to the Sonics game. And he's like, Adam, so there's a reason I wanted you to come here and go to the game. And as you know, I really like your mom. She's just the best. And I want to ask you, you are the man of the house, you know, and I could get your mom's hand in marriage. And I just go, I don't think so, George.
Did you really?
Yeah, as a joke, right. Trying to be funny. And he just goes, oh, okay.
game hadn't even started.
Let me just, didn't really have a follow-up to that answer.
Oh, Santa! We got a long way to go.
Trying to watch Sean Kemp throw it down. Yeah, we can talk about your life later. Jeez, selfish. Trying to see if Detlef Schrempf still has what it takes.
Detlef.
And so then I go, no, dude, obviously. I go, that'd be amazing. I go, I'd love to have you as a stepdad. And he was like, how about a real dad? I was like, don't push it. And
no, you got one of those.
Yeah, I got one of those. So then that worked out. And then and it's been great. And just, you know, dang, man, just to get leaving to go to school knowing that my mom, I mean, you know, I think.
Yeah. What a relief.
Yeah, what a relief. And I was able to jump
in
fully.
He's a good dude. She's not just dating. He's a good
dude.
Man,
and she was able to not have to work 3-4 jobs anymore. Still worked for a while. And then slowly but surely, my mom always wanted to act. My grandpa always, she was so, again, my mom, just her and I, 8th grade through high school, my sister went to this all-girls school. Because just at one point she stole my mom's van, our space van, some Astro van.
In 8th grade?
When I was in 8th grade, she was in 10th. And her and her boyfriend took all my money that I'd saved up for my bar mitzvah, which was probably a couple grand, all my clothes in my closet for her boyfriend, and they drove to Arizona because my dad was living there with his family at the time, and she just loved it. And
so he left Seattle.
Yeah, there's so many pieces to this puzzle. But yeah, they went from Seattle to Arizona. He was trying to get his license back medically and did. And then they went to Kwajalein and then Midway Island and then Lake Chelan. South Pacific. Okay. Yeah. First time I drank was with these guys from the Philippines. Played basketball with them every day. Just got fucked up. And shout out to Norman if you're still on Midway Island. You had a wicked crossover, but fucking, you know what happened in the post. And so my mom just crushed it, helping out with plays and everything, watching my basketball, just being there. She was just like an 8th grade and through high school. That is a very instrumental time as a kid. And so, again, we became best friends and enemies. We at each other's throats, needed each other, but trying to figure it out, me being frustrated probably that she was by herself and then around me so much, and then just me trying to, you know, and her trying to play both roles. And I used to do the stupid joke where it's like she bought me condoms when I was 11, and I was like, was it awkward? Yeah. You know, was it embarrassing? Like, for sure. You know, was I 10? You know, almost. I was 9, you know, but I was flattering because she believed in me, you know, or it was, you know, flattering. And so, yeah, and that's why I don't do that joke anymore. if you could hear that silence in the room. And so, but again, she was just so, and that's why I'm a mama's boy. Like, we just, you know, she just did everything. Do you want to make sure I still had everything to, and working all these jobs to be able to have the opportunities to do everything and not feel, we didn't need a lot and didn't have a shit ton, but, you know, just to be able to go to a movie with my buddies on the weekend and give me some cash for that, you know, stuff like that, and not miss out.
So during all this time, your mom finally gets a good man, and during all this, are you still in touch with your dad? Are you in contact? Are you visiting? Like, what is that like? Once he moves.
Yes, once he moves, and then, and then I go visit him on the islands, which is great, and did stand up for the very first time on Midway Island when he was the main dock out there, and he was in the main dock on Kwajalein too, which he loved, and it was great, dude. Living golf carting to work, the beach. Was doing a lot of big stuff, but if something really insane went down, they'd fly people to the big island. By the way, middle of nowhere, Midway Island. Like, look it up. Like, literally, I remember us the plane, descending over water, and like there's a little strip like of island, and couldn't see it as we're going down. So we're getting lower and lower. And I literally in the back of the plane go, can anybody see anything other than water? And they were just like, turn around. And then, you know, if somebody expresses that concern, people are just like, you're right. I can only see. We're going to crash. You know, and it was
you had
like,
the
terrifying.
Plane into a
yeah, dude. Even the pilot was like, you're right. I can't see shit.
The pilot got yeah. nervous.
But so we were going real low. And then finally, all of a sudden, we hit. I swear to God, dude, could not see the land. It was such a minimal strip. And then we hit. And I was like, all right, maybe the water's just real hard, you know? And then we coasted in. But I did stand up. And I remember my dad, who doesn't drink a lot, I got pretty drunk that night because I committed to doing an hour of stand up. I'd done maybe 2 open mics in Seattle before I moved to LA. And I was like, I'm a comic. I did a couple frat parties before bands, which was awful. Because everyone's waiting for the band. It starts 45 minutes late. By the time you get up there and you're like, well, I rehearsed 30 minutes, so I'm doing 30 minutes. Yeah, do I have a 12-minute bit on Charlie Brown? You're goddamn right.
You're
going
to hear all 12, motherfucker.
You're going to hear all 12 minutes and probably an extra additional improv minute. and so I do 30, or no, an hour. And I'd say like 3 of those jokes were good, where it was like there were bike cops there, and somebody gave somebody a ticket for not having a handlebar on their bike. And I heard about that earlier in the day, and I was just like, and the whole thing about how, you know, bored do you have to be on this fucking island, and how little crime is really going on that a handlebar, and do this whole act out of him going back to his, you know, boss, you know, trying to be all like, you know, this kid was driving around a handlebar. That won't be happening anytime soon again. And it was like, dude, Jerry, nobody gives a shit, man. And then I had attended a birthday party for my one of my brothers that day. And so I did probably a 15-minute bit on how awful all of the kids were at that birthday party. By the way, these are the kids of these people that are at the show. Because it's maybe 1,000 people live on this island. Yeah. Someone's like, I don't know whose kid is Daniel, but that kid sucks. And everyone's it was just quiet. My dad was like, you know, I'm not going to be on this island too much longer. My kid is just chastising.
Got me outed.
Yeah, dude. Because one kid, I remember at my brother's birthday party, literally picked up a can of Sprite at one point, and I'm standing like in the wall and like trying to lead some game. I think it was, you know, pin the tail on the donkey or something, you know, one of those classics. And all of a sudden I look up and he was just like shaking a can of Sprite. And I go, Daniel, what are you doing, man? He goes, this, and fucking chucks it at my head. And I literally was like, fucking like that. And it hits the wall and explodes. And I go, damn it, Daniel. And I remember telling that story at the birthday party and being like, dude, hey, was swallowing ever an option?
Where's Danny's mom?
Yeah, where's Danny's mom? And dude, it was weird.
I bet that was weird.
Yeah, but so then my dad and I, they went through it, man. Moved around, he trying to get his license back from some shit that went down, and he was here's when we really connected, and I know we got to wrap up, but when he really connected, I was in college in my fraternity, living in the fraternity at a party, and they had to move. They were living in like a one bedroom in Arizona, struggling for cash. Him and his family, 2-3 kids, wife.
And, in a one bedroom
in Arizona, yeah, and you can hear it in your throat clear.
I can hear it in your throat.
I can see it in your eyes. You're making this one sweet. Can I have the rest of your fries?
I'ma eat the rest of those fries.
So he was working a telemarketer job. He picked that up to make some extra cash, for like 15-16 hours a day. Selling magazines and calling and doing that. And that was his, and he would call me. He'd start calling me to vent and tell me these stories. And I started to recognize, again, just trying to be there and you know, diffuse some of the severity of just that for him. And he started to reach out and be like, I'm proud of you, this and that. And just as I got to college, and we just started to talk a little more. And sports was always a great, it was, always had that, talking about Seattle sports, NBA. We'd always just talk about, that was truly what our conversations consisted of for a long time. Just, do you see that? Do you see that? And that was enough. And then he started to be like, I'm proud of the school and taking an interest in other stuff, which he hadn't really ever. Like, tell me about the play and what the, you know, and really asking. And so I was like, all right, cool. And I don't think I ever needed more than that. I just, again, was just like, you know, you understood. You're like, man, this is what he is. This is what he's going to be for me. And mom is kind of crushing both parts. So I don't need, I was always like, I'm lucky I got that.
Right.
What am I going to be greedy? I need 2 fucking parents that are going to shower me with love. I got 1. That feels pretty good, you know? And so he'd tell me these stories, and I was just like, man, these insane stories. And then he started crushing it, and he was like winning all these awards for the telemarketing thing. And there was a lot of sadness to it. He was definitely very depressed that he was doing that. You're doing open heart surgeries, and now you're like, you guys want to subscribe to Sports Illustrated?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's fucking crazy, yeah. Dude. And so I would listen. I would go
you
lock
guys
myself.
Subscribe to Sports Illustrated? Do you have high cholesterol? Listen, let's work some cash price out of here. I still got the skill. I don't got the license, but I got the skill.
Oh my God! Yeah, he probably did combine both worlds. And I would lock myself in my fraternity room at the party, and just checked out of the party 2-3 hours on the phone with him. Just
that's
let
nice.
Him vent.
Good.
See the party just quiet.
That's when you started seeing him as a person.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
and also
necessarily dad. And
yeah.
Flaws
and we'd laugh, and I'd go out of my way to like. He also was a cool thing where. Getting to know where you got your sense of humor from, again, like, both of them are so funny, and now at a point to where we joke around a lot, and it's awesome. I used to never do that with my mom. Again, in high school, it was just like, your mom, like, if she'd said something funny, I was almost, like, embarrassed.
Right.
So to be able to do that is, like, just awesome. And he, you know, he would almost tell me things to probably hope that I would find the funny in it for him, and then we'd laugh, and he'd always tell me, man, thanks for talking, I feel better, you know, and I was like, cool.
I love you, Dad.
I didn't need to dry hump that girl out there. You know?
Fuck you for those basket shots. He put that on you.
Yeah.
So take me to the post
yeah.
that I saw. So
wow, dude. Well
obviously
done.
You reconnected.
That's a pretty solid amount of backstory to lead up to this
yeah,
picture. Yeah.
It is.
It's actually kind of perfect. This is the show, by the way.
But you did reconnect in college. So then you started being
and
more
sis didn't,
in touch there.
Sis definitely just, again, being a little older, just had
right.
a lot more feelings to the whole situation.
Absolutely.
And also, again, as a default, I see that. And that definitely has bugged him. So I'm like, I'm gonna extra step it up and try to have
I mean,
a relationship.
Good for you for doing that.
Because I don't want him to, he shouldn't have to, people make mistakes, man. And there was a moment when I was in Arizona.
Right, it wasn't like he was abusive to you or
no, man.
Any of that shit. He just
fucked up, man. Yeah. And there was a moment where, and you know, sometimes you need a little, you need something from somebody, whether it's an acknowledgement of the past or something. But I never really required that. I just go.
Or like a glass blown trinket.
a glass blown. He goes, I got this from Richard. He made it of you and I. Spooning in the bed opposite of Dennis and your mom. It's funny how all the worlds collided.
it's a marshmallow head glass
holding a saxophone. Holding a wet used saxophone.
Wet, yeah, it's so sick.
With the homeless guy who pissed in it. So, yeah, I would just want to have a relationship. But so I was at one of the islands where he lived at one point, and he was. I was reading a bedtime story to one of my brothers, and my dad's sitting there, and my dad's doing it too, and then he read a story, and they just stopped halfway through reading and just started crying, and then he goes, all right, real moment, and he goes, man, he goes, I'm sorry I never did this for you, and he goes, and then he goes, and then he just paused and goes, I'm sorry, and I was like, man, all right, cool, like, got it, like, that kind of was, you know,
two
I didn't
words,
need you to
wash
kind of,
it all away.
Yeah, he just kind of,
yeah.
Because he was doing this with his other son and just kind of, because, yeah, I don't remember that ever happening. And I think it just hit him and he acknowledged it. And then it was just like, and you know, it was so, I was just like, yeah, it's all good. Hey, it's fine. I still don't read books, you know? We had a shitty selection. What were you going to read me, The Chosen? You know, trying to, again, like make him feel good
right,
and diffuse
yeah.
it with humor and so we had just a bunch of magazines, which I know that was your world. So, but no, not the shit on what you did. But I didn't want to read that shit, you know. And I think we had Paula Abdul's biography. I didn't,
Paula
hey,
Abdul.
Man, straight up, you know, I didn't want to read that shit. Let's take 2 steps forward and 2 steps back and fucking recognize that. And so, so then when he got to the post, he's been, you know, doctors are the worst patients. They never want to call attention to themselves and get checked up or address things, but he is in tune with what's going on. And he's, you know, like I said, just turned 75 in this past fall. And I've helped them out a lot too. I've been fortunate to do okay in the last couple of years and, you know, helped them out a lot. And my sister and her fam, like with no, and as I mentioned off air, like it's created some tension between my sister and her family a little bit to where my brother-in-law and I, who is the best, but him and I got into it through text, and his last text to me was, bro, I'll tell you if I ever see you and he's a tough guy and you know, rapper, construction guy, white
rapper,
big, fucking tough, definitely bigger than me. And he was like, if I ever see you, stay away from me, otherwise we'll find out if there is a man bone in that weak body. To which I texted, ah, there's that family man I was looking to talk to. So things did not end on a high note, but we're good now.
I think what you maybe what you could do is take you could be his fucking Warren G. I mean his Nate Dogg, and you could hit you do his all his hooks.
Yeah, dude.
Heard it in your throat clear. He's like, I'm dirty.
He's the man, dude. He's a good dude. It's yeah, that's a whole well Dirte, that'll be part two of this program. But so my dad got this perforated diverticulitis, which is a like inflamed of the colon and insane stomach pains. My stepmom rushes him to the hospital. She's like, your dad's in the ER. Like, he's in terrible pain. Couldn't stand up at work. I was trying to power through it. He's on the phone with me. He just has to hang up because he's crying and he's just like in so much pain. And man, I'm just like, oh shit, something is bad. He's almost 75. So yeah. You're just like, this is not the time for, they got to do emergency surgery. They do it. He's out. He's feeling okay. I get on the next plane and go up to Portland, drive to Salem, canceled any shit I had, and it's just like, I got to go. Sister and her family, they just don't have the means or the time to break away. And again, and even my brothers, like, who are attentive and apart, and one of my brothers, one of his kids helped, was instrumental in moving them from Washington down and getting his mom, my stepmom, down there with him and finding them a place and gave him some cash to get things situated, and so I'm just like, I'm going up there. I think I'm the person who can do this, and the brothers don't got time either. So I go up there and stay in the hospital with him for 3 days, and man, he was shaken up, and it was just so awful to see him so physically weak, but also just aware of like, oh man, like being, this is a never happened. He's like, my last surgery was getting my wisdom teeth out when I was like 5. I was like, it was a pretty good run. And, you know, 70 years. And so he was just real taken aback and just started talking to me nonstop. And again, I'm just trying to be fun and positive. It's like he's on the phone with the magazines. I'm trying to just spin everything lightly and be attentive and sleep at the hospital and tell stories. And then he just starts going down memory lane and just telling stories and recounting things in a way to where it almost felt like he knew that he wasn't going to get out of this, or maybe not work again or something. And so he just got real introspective and just started opening up about so many things, crying a lot, apologizing again. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had to see, you know, Dennis shoot like that, you know. And, no, but just sorry about everything I did with your mom. And he patched things up with my sis, which was weird. They had a crazy moment on the phone where they, like, he finally apologized to her, which was like, I mean, dude, it just, and she finally could, like, let go and be, because she, man, held on to so much over the years. Like, seeing, it's just, again, just seeing a lot more. And then my mom, real concerned, they don't talk. They haven't talked in a while. But they still are just, they ask me, how's the other one doing? And if something's going on medically, I give them an update and even have asked my dad for things. And there was a point, by the way, real quick, when my dad was doing the magazines, my mom hit me up and she's like, I've got these lawyers and I'm going to go after your dad for, you know, basically not getting child support for a long time. And I go, Mom, this is what's going on. And she's like,
I don't
want to
lose Sports Illustrated right now, Mom. That's the swimsuit issues coming up next month. Could you reconsider? We got a good thing going here.
I've been tracking this next these next 2 months of who's on the cover. And it's a good one. And I don't know if you know anything about the magazine stand prices, but they're going up.
We got a good thing going here, Mom.
That's so funny, dude. Again, that's a great part of the one-man show. So I tell her that, and she goes, well, I'm not an animal. Thank you for the info. And just never did.
Wow.
Ever. And she, I mean.
Good for your mom, man.
Man, she, in her, deserving of what she endured and made work, and like, yeah, that like you deserve all of what you should have, you know, cashed in on. Didn't. So she calls me and goes, how's he doing? I go, great. And I go, put him on FaceTime. I put her on FaceTime and gave my dad the phone.
Is this the first time they've talked
in a while, man? Yeah. I'm gonna say at least 5 years.
Okay.
And they don't text. They don't like not happy birthdays or whatever. They just hear about each other and might have seen each other at one of my niece's birthday parties, maybe in that maybe three to 5 years. Or seen each other maybe. No, long 5 years at least. And and he's on FaceTime with her, and he just starts crying, and then she is kind of staying strong. Then she starts tearing up, and then they just, she kind of starts to make jokes and being like, oh, you look good or whatever, or like, it looks like a good bed, or so she makes some joke, or, you know, are they feeding you well and this and that, and just trying to be in her, you know, pudding fashion, just high spirits and just making light of everything. And then my dad just starts, and again, just kind of the real, you know, raw, like, I'm sorry, and just...
Wow,
like,
he gave it to everybody.
Yeah, man, and it was like, oh, it was just so... And I'm just sitting there being like, can I get one more grape Jell-O?
I'm going to be outside shooting baskets.
Yeah, dude, it was...
I mean, basket shots, still can't say it right. I can't even do it.
You can't even do it if you tried. And so it was crazy, man, and I just watching them talk and like,
that's awesome.
Again, not even like having that much time go by and then this moment to happen and him apologize and her take it in and like, and again, and knowing some of the backstory of what my mom went through and, yeah, and him, it was just, man, it was really intense. And so, yeah, I wanted a screenshot of them just in that, I just wanted to remember that moment. And so I took that screenshot of her FaceTiming him mm-hmm. and, because it was just so powerful, and it was so, and then
it was powerful to read. I mean,
yeah,
first of all, a lot of people never do that, and even when they're ready to, a lot of people are dead and gone.
Yeah,
you know, you wait that long, sometimes you don't get the opportunity to say that to that person. You know,
yeah, it was, yeah, and I kept thinking about it, and I got on that plane after I stayed a few more days, and felt like he was, you know, on the mend, and went back another time, and. She was there for a little over a month and then set him up with some home care and whatnot. But I just kept thinking about it, and I was so just over, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, put, it's just, you're so overwhelmed with emotion and so many things. And I'm just like, I started texting it to a buddy of mine who knows my folks. And then he was just like, man, that was, he's like, this is incredible. Like, he's like, you should like, you know, post something about this. It's a really, like, you know, a worthwhile situation for people to just hear about, and yeah, it's really raw for you. And I was like, yeah, but it's not funny. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? And I did, and it got like, yeah, not, I mean, look, there's a video of, you know, my dwarf buddy, Brad, dunking a basketball that has way more views.
Yeah.
But it felt good to put it out, and it was really cool to see people like unexpectedly be like, this was beautiful. Like it was just cool to share something like that.
That was a while ago, and I've remembered it, and it's not even something you had brought to the table on this. I said to Nadav earlier, like, I really want to ask him about that. I wonder if he's comfortable talking about it.
So yeah, for sure, man. I mean, and you...
I'm glad you all had that opportunity, too. It's fucking awesome.
Thanks,
it takes,
man,
a long time sometimes, doesn't it? Good,
well, just,
God.
And it's great that you asked me that, and that we really went through so much, because, and that is, I mean, one chapter in this whole story that, right, built to that moment. But like, I think hopefully everyone got enough of an understanding of what that moment was and why it was so important to me because of everything that had happened. And so, cause you know, at the end of the day, you want people, despite of what's happened and happening, like, to get along and be at least cordial, and not like my folks need to be best friends, but to be able to, like, you know, see each other in that moment. And,
yeah,
and, you know, and again, I think he probably thought something was not going to turn out favorable for him, so he really felt extra a need to say something. But it would have been great if he was just like, and I'm glad he took my advice and called Dennis a pussy cocksucker tits bitch, because I did say that once about you. So it's funny that he copyright or plagiarized my my insults.
Well, brother, we got to get you out
yeah,
here.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Good
thank
talk
you
to
so
hours.
Much. I love you.
I love you, Ryan.
You're great. Will
yeah,
you one more
great.
Time plug whatever you'd like, please?
Yeah, I'll be crying in the parking lot, thinking about 10 minutes, and so you can see me there.
We got a hoop out there for the basket shot.
If you did and you got video of that and somehow Dennis was there. No, Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, adamraycomedy.com for my tour dates, About Last Night, the podcast, Read the Room, the album. Full video is now up on YouTube, which is youtube.com/AdamRay24. And Elwin Shira, I'm voice of the talking horse Swiftwind on Shira that's on Netflix. I think season 3 drops August 3rd.
You got a lot going on, brother. Congrats
just trying, man.
On
it's
all of it.
Dude, you're crushing it. The show's amazing.
This is a lot of fun.
It's a great, you found a really great avenue that's very you and still all the comedy and the storytelling. But it's like, you know, it's important that like this part of, you know, because in my head I was like, God, I've got these stories, but like I got to make sure that we keep the funny in it, you know, because I don't think anybody wants to truly listen to just, you know, flatline. But we open strong. Jeremiah Fulford Foster, by the way. Look him up. Tweet at him. I'm sure
he'll
be
for him. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you being here.
I love you, Ryan.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.